and thanks for listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Charlotte Kniep. And there have no doubt been some heartbreaking stories about refugees in the news recently. Devastating wars have ripped these innocent people from their home countries and forced them to find safety in other parts of the world. And in 2015 alone, over 1 million people have crossed the Mediterranean Sea by boat to find safety, and many didn't even survive that journey. While this can be a polarizing political topic for many, the LDS Church has stood firm in their support for these people. The First Presidency, in fact, released an official letter stating the importance of donating money and other resources to aid refugees, and the church itself has donated millions of dollars in Europe to help further their comfort and protection. Tyson Sadler is a filmmaker who has worked with the Associated Press and Huffington Post and has had the opportunity to travel to Europe and report on and see firsthand the plight of these refugees there over the past year. And he's with us today to discuss his experiences. Thanks for being here, Tyson.
Thanks, Charlotte. I'm really happy to be here with you.
So Tyson is actually joining us on the phone from Istanbul, Turkey right now. How did you get involved in this type of reporting work, and what is your role specifically?
Well, I'm a documentary filmmaker and a storyteller. Every project that I create, you know, I'm trying to bring the audience closer to the heart of the story. Now, whether that's through traditional film or photography, or through immersive virtual reality content, that's what I try to do. So over the past year, I've been working on several virtual reality films in different refugee hotspots in Europe and the Middle East, from the jungle in Calais, France, to the Greece-Macedonian border, the island of Lesbos, and most recently in the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. And like you said, I'm actually calling from Istanbul, Turkey, where there's nearly 400,000 Syrian refugees.
That's incredible. Now, most of us get our information about the refugee crisis from the news. And having been there yourself firsthand, what are some things that you think the general public is not seeing or completely understanding about this crisis?
Well, often the media speaks about the refugee crisis in grand, broad terms. For example, there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 million refugees globally, or like you mentioned earlier, in 2015, over 1 million refugees and migrants crossed the Mediterranean by boat. So it's easy to get lost in the numbers, and we forget that these are all individuals. Now, war doesn't discriminate. These are teachers, engineers, students, scientists. Syria has some very highly educated people, and we'd be incredibly fortunate if they were to resettle in our country. Now, it's unfortunate that this crisis is happening during a U.S. election cycle. It's been highly right. politicized, and fear-based xenophobia, you know, are often being used to rally voters. So I really wish that we could approach this issue from a moral standpoint and not a political one. Behind each of those numbers are people just like you and I. There are mothers and there are fathers. They want to provide for their children. They want to go to restaurants. They want to watch movies. They want to have decent jobs. They're in need of international protection because they're the ones that are fleeing war, violence, and persecution. I was recently on the island of Lesbos, where up to 4,000 refugees were arriving every day by boat, helping refugees with blankets and warm clothing as their boats would arrive on the shore. And I wondered to myself, you know, what would convince a mother or father to put their children on a rickety rubber dinghy and cross the Aegean Sea? You know, and that question just kept on popping up in my mind. And I had a conversation with one gentleman from Syria, and this is what he said to me. He said, imagine that you and your family live on the top floor of a 7-story building, and that building is on fire. If I stay, my family and I will die, but if I jump, at least there's a chance that I will live. That story really captures the essence of why people are risking their lives to get out of Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. It's that there are no other options for them. I really, you know, wish people knew that, you know, refugees are not terrorists. You know, they're the ones that are running away from the exact same things that we fear. You know, we both share a common enemy.
Absolutely. There's so much more than just a name or a number. They represent lives and experiences. And like you said, we would be very fortunate to have them amongst us in America. Why do you think it's particularly important for Christians to be aware of these situations?
I think it's important for everyone, regardless of faith, to be aware of this crisis and do what they can. We know from the Doctrine and Covenants, Section 82, that it says, you know, where much is given, much is required. When someone shows up on our doorstep, you know, beaten down, cold and hungry, we don't build a bigger fence, but we need to build a bigger table. And, you know, I think, you know, following the example of Jesus Christ, you know, we make room for them.
And you actually were quoted as saying, globally, one in every 122 humans is now either a refugee internally displaced or seeking asylum currently. And if this were the population of a country, it would be the world's 24th biggest. So how do these numbers make you feel about, and how does it motivate you as a human being to help them?
This is the largest humanitarian crisis of our lifetime. You know, the world has not seen migration on this scale since World War II. The events taking place right now will have a ripple effect that will continue for generations. The face of Europe will change forever. This is a moral test, you know, and I don't ever want to look back at this moment in history and think that I stood by and watched. I want to be an active participant, and I want to be part of the solution. I want to use my talents, I want to use my resources to be able to shift the discourse in a way that has a positive impact on humanity.
It sounds like you're doing a pretty good job of that right now with your filmmaking and your storytelling.
Well, I'm trying. You know, I do think the more people that can hear these stories and see this work, it will help humanize this crisis.
Many of these refugees will be coming to America very soon, or they're coming right now. If someone finds themselves in a situation where in their neighborhood or community, they have a lot of refugees moving in, what advice would you give them about things they can do to help ease their transition into American life?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. You know, depending on where our audience is listening from, you know, I think that there are opportunities, you know, to host refugees in our homes, you know, and invite them over for dinner, you know, let them know that and remind them that they're welcome here. If you have a specific skill, you know, you can volunteer. Integrating into a new culture is difficult. And I know people that offer English lessons to newly arrived refugees. I also know a hairdresser that offers free haircuts to kids. You know, regardless of what our skill set is, I think there's always something that we can do to make refugees feel more welcome. You know, other things that we can do, you know, we can encourage our universities, you know, to offer refugee scholarships. If we own a business, we can try and find a place there, you know, to offer employment or volunteer opportunities for refugees. We can hold awareness and fundraising events. We can also find organizations that we identify with that are doing really good work for refugees and donate to them.
Yeah, that's some really good advice. Just as a side note, my husband and I live in an inner city Salt Lake ward right now, and we have a lot of refugees in our ward. They're LDS refugees, but they're coming from Africa, and there's even a family that we've become close with from Pakistan, and they moved here because terrorist groups in Pakistan have been burning Christians in their street centers, and this man in particular went to an anti-terrorism rally, and there's a price on his head, so they had to leave. And something that my husband and I did, like, we've had them over for dinner and things, and we found that what they needed the most was just someone to help them edit their resumes so that they could find jobs. And it's, you know, it's just a really simple thing, but we've felt so fulfilled by being able to help with that, because we can obviously, like, help them navigate the business world here in Utah, and it's been really beneficial. So I'm excited about helping refugees, and I just think it's great what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I think there's always something we can do, and there's always more that we can do. You know, and if we ever come in contact with a refugee or a migrant or an asylum seeker, just start a conversation, learn more about them. And, you know, through that conversation, I'm sure that you'll be able to find ways that you can help.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tyson. That was some really great advice and insight that you offered. And you can learn more about how to help and support refugees by visiting the Mormon Channel blog, as well as viewing the LDS video series Give Back, which talks about the LDS humanitarian efforts to aid refugees around the world. And that's available to view on mormonchannel.org. Well, our quote of the day is from Elder M. Russell Ballard, and he actually recently visited a group of refugees, many of them children, in Greece, and he stated, "The Lord has made it clear that one of the great responsibilities of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is that we are to feed the hungry and the poor. We are to reach out and take care of them, and especially the children. I encourage each of us to remember this charge. May God bless us all in our efforts as we do so." Thank you so much for listening today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.